I'm with Jim Little of the Pensacola News Journal. Hello, Jim.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, Jim, on June 29th, you published a piece in the News Journal concerning the controversy over the Confederate monument. It's been in the news for the last more than a month now. And just talk a little bit about some of the research that went into that story.
Yeah, so I started looking into the monument after the city council meeting in June, where a UWF historian spoke to the city council and kind of, you know, very briefly went over the history of the monument. And it was Dr. Jamin Wells, who I spoke to for the story, and he helped me out with the research for the article, pointing me to a lot of primary sources, which were actually some were in the old copies of the Pensacola News Journal from that time.
Now, what got me was that the monument itself was erected in June of 1891, which is 26 years after the Civil War. It's not something that was thrown up there right after Lee surrendered at Appomattox. And so it's been there for 129 years by my count. And what have you found out about the history of that?
Yeah, so William Lees, who is also actually based out of Pensacola, wrote a book on Florida's Confederate monuments, and he kind of delved into the history of every monument in the state. And what you see after the Civil War is a lot of monuments go up right after the war. And then there's a period, you know, about 20, 30 years after the war where new types of monuments go up that are more dedicated to what historians call the lost cause narrative, which is kind of reframing the war to focus on the valor and heroism of the soldiers and not really the political issues that were behind the reason the war happened.
Yeah, it was really, they tried to take a military defeat and turn it into a cultural victory. I was over in New Orleans when then Mayor Mitch Landrieu removed some of the monuments there, and he had read extensively about the lost cause and quoted exactly what your sources in the article said.
Yeah, it's surprising, you know, when you read about this, there's a lot of divided opinions out there in the public about it. But when you speak to historians, there isn't really a lot of division about this idea that, you know, this was a very deliberative effort to recast the Civil War into a different narrative to make it less about the reasons why the war happened and more about really trying to change the culture of the time to really support white supremacy and Jim Crow laws that were sweeping the South at that time.
Yeah, because within 20 years after the Civil War, I mean, segregation of schools began, the segregation of public transit, as you point out, and there were even a couple of lynchings in downtown Pensacola.
Yeah. One of the things that I learned from speaking to historian Paul Ortiz, who I quoted in the article, is Pensacola at the time was, after the Civil War, was really a multicultural city. It was, you know, about 50% African-American, 50% white, and the city government was run by, you know, a coalition of African-Americans and Hispanics and whites. And in the 1880s, Governor Perry, the Democratic Party at the time, was able to control the state government, but they weren't able to control local government. So they basically, what Dr. Ortiz said, it was a coup of local governments to force, you know, African-Americans out of government. And you see that in Pensacola and Jacksonville and Key West, which were the largest cities in the state at the time.
And this wasn't something that happened 100 years ago. I mean, you even pointed out that there were demonstrations at the monument in the 1970s.
Yeah, and that was a post-civil rights era where you had legal battles in the courts over Escambia County High School and their mascot, which historian Michael Butler noted is the only time he's aware of that they've been able to find where a federal court has ruled the Confederate flag is a racial irritant, is what the court said about it, and actually ruled that the high school had to change its mascot, which led to all kinds of protests and rioting, and the Ku Klux Klan was trying to restart and saw the turmoil happening in Pensacola and tried to use that as a launching pad, and one of the places they gathered was the Confederate monument in Pensacola.
Well, I found it a fascinating read, real informative for somebody who is not from Pensacola, just to see that the historical perspective and with using primary sources rather than hearsay or rumor. What kind of reaction did you get?
You know, I was expecting a mixed reaction. This is a divisive issue in the, you know, culture, but actually overwhelmingly the majority of reactions and emails and comments I received about the piece was people were just really happy to learn about the history, and they had no idea that this had happened in their own city. And that's kind of always good to hear when you do a story like this.
Well, on Tuesday, the city council is expected to vote on whether to remove the monument, and we appreciate your contribution to educating the public about it.
I appreciate you having me on.
That was Jim Little with the Pensacola News Journal. You can read his story on Pensacola's Confederate Monument at pnj.com. I'm Tom Ninestein, WWF News.